You are a Locked On Braves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, your team every day.
Well, another day and another win for the Atlanta Braves to start out the 2023 season. And this one looked vaguely familiar. If you've seen the winning formula the Braves have used the last couple of years, hit a bunch of home runs, outscore your opponents by a bunch of runs, get some good starting pitching, some good work from the bullpen, and pick up a victory. That was a recipe for success in a 7-1 win over the Washington Nationals on game two of the 162 journey that we have embarked on. And we're going to talk about it here on the Braves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Make sure you're subscribed here on YouTube. Hit that bell so you get notified every time we drop a new episode. And we got a lot to talk about on this one. A lot of good stuff. Bunch of home runs, Jake, and what a way to start the day. Some fireworks from Ronald Acuna Jr. and Matt Olson. That had to be a great start for both those guys and something Braves fans have waited all winter long to see.
Yeah, when you sit down and you get ready to go and you're already up 2-0 and Spencer Strider's on the mound, you feel pretty good about your chances on that day. And everybody talking about the Braves scoring without the home run in game one, which is great. And they came out in game two and showed you exactly what they can do and what I think we'll see a lot more of from this team in 2023.
Yeah, I think we will. Four home runs on the day. The leadoff blast by Acuna, two from Matt Olson, and one from the DH, Marcelo Ozuna, on this day. Let's jump inside the box score. Let's see how the Braves won this game and win it handily. They did. They're now 2-0, seven runs, 11 hits, no errors, three men left on base. Nationals, one run on five hits. It was a solo home run as far as getting on the board. Came in the very last inning. Five men left aboard for the Nationals, who dropped to 0-2. Spencer Strider, as Jake mentioned, was on the mound. And, yeah, I think the Braves were feeling pretty good about what was going on there. He picks up his first win in his season debut. Josiah Gray takes a loss. He allowed a handful of home runs, and this one drops to 0-1. Game was only 2 hours and 21 minutes. Thank you to the Pace of Play Committee. They have really got us moving along here in the first couple of games. The first one, though, maybe not quite as much as this one. 27,529 on hand at Nationals Park to see it. Jake, let's start off with what we like to always begin with. Was good starting pitching. The Braves got it today. Spencer Strider, six scoreless innings, three hits, three walks, nine strikeouts for him. I think he looked like he was dialing it up in complete command. And if you had any question about what Spencer Strider going to look like, adding a changeup to his arsenal, is it going to be the same kind of high heat that we've seen in the past year or so? I think he answered the question that he can do a little bit of everything.
He can. And look, I had a lot of people ask me from spring training because the velocity was more 96, 97. Was that a concern? 99 right out of the gate on his first pitch and was still sitting, you know, easily 98 late in the game as well. So, yeah, he looked like the Spencer Strider we're accustomed to seeing, you know, still mostly fastball sliders. He did throw six changeups. He got three whiffs on it and one called strike. So, again, he just has to show that pitch with how good his fastball and slider are. If he just shows that pitch a couple of times throughout a game, it's going to make everything else so much more effective. But it looked like, yeah, the Spencer Strider that we saw last year, the same thing, just dominating type of performance and a 10-pitch at bat out of the gate, too. He really had to work from that first at bat and then just kind of settled in after that. But love seeing it. I mean, this guy is just so electric. He's so fun to watch, and it's just great to see him do what he does. I think, you know, if he were to comment on his outing, those three walks, you know, there were a couple of times where the strike zone just eluded him. But other than that, it was a fantastic outing.
Yeah, not a lot to complain about. I mean, he didn't throw a no-hitter, sure. He did walk a handful of batters. But overall, I mean, I really felt like he looked comfortable. You know, only the six base runners there. 96 pitches for him, so that was good to see. Really no worries about a pitch count or anything. He's properly built up throughout spring training. Struck out five of the first six batters he faced, and the side in both the second and the sixth inning. So he finished with a flourish as well by striking out the final three batters, or getting the final three outs by that, and getting up to nine on the day. So he's already looking like he is just ready to keep dealing, picking up right where he left off a year ago. Now, offensively speaking, as we've talked about, the Braves didn't wait very long to get on the board. The first batter of the game was Ronald Acuna Jr. He hit a leadoff home run, the 27th of his young career. I put this stat out on Twitter. Ronald Acuna Jr. with 27 of those in 427 games as Atlanta's leadoff man. Ricky Henderson holds the all-time record. He's got 81 leadoff homers. He did it in 2,875 games. Ronald's only 25. He is a double, more than double the pace of Ricky Henderson as far as the frequency of these leadoff home runs. This is one of those records. I don't know if you put it up there with, you know, Cy Young's wins or, you know, Pete Rose's hits record or a number of other ones, 56-game hitting streak for Joe DiMaggio, whatever your timeless record is. Maybe the leadoff home run record isn't quite that, but it would be pretty darn impressive to see Ronald make a run at that. And in his young career, he's put himself in a position to do it. It's pretty impressive.
It is. And look, if he stays there for the majority of his career, I think he, I want to say easily, but I think he definitely will get there. We'll see if he stays in the leadoff spot. But an 0-2 pitch to start the game, and, you know, pitch probably stayed up a little more than Josiah Gray wanted it to, but I go back to the World Baseball Classic and the swing he had against that Devin Williams changeup where he was able to get under that pitch and line it off the left field wall. I mean, that's what I'm looking for with Acuna, those low pitches. Is he able to get under those balls and drive them? And we saw him do that right out of the gate. We've seen him drive a couple other balls in this series as well. A couple of nice catches against the wall and for these first two games robbed him of some extra base hits. So very encouraging stuff that we're seeing from Acuna. You know, the exit velocities for him are always there. They were there last year. It's more so, can he get back to driving the baseball, getting that launch angle to the right spot? And we're starting to see that a little bit here already in these first two games.
Yeah, great to see that. You mentioned, I mean, another rocket that he hit in his fourth at bat, a great catch by Lane Thomas out on the right field warning track against the wall. That one on a hot day, I think, has a chance to get out of the ballpark as well. But that's what Ronald Acuna Jr. had going on. But he wasn't the only man driving the ball and leaving the yard, as the case was. Matt Olson followed him, second batter of the game, back-to-back home runs. First time the Braves have done that in 5 years. And for Matt Olson, the first of his two home runs on the day. You talked about spring training storylines and questions that we might have had about a number of different Braves players. I don't know that any Braves hitter generated as much excitement in amongst Braves fans as Matt Olson did, with 8 home runs, most in the major leagues, hitting well over 400, OPSing like 1,500. But it's spring training. Now we're seeing it. He's getting some multi-hit games here to start the year and a multi-homer game in the second contest of the year. Matt Olson looks like he could be locked and loaded for a very big season as well, and I think that would pretty much at this point be to the surprise of no one.
And yeah, especially not of the spring training he had. And look, you never know what spring training stats mean, if that's going to carry over. It seems to have carried over for Matt Olson, and hopefully it carries through the entire season. But 2 home runs, 1 to right, 1 to left, just showing that opposite field power as well. The one he hit to left was just about the exact same spot as where he hit a double in game 1 that almost got out. So just incredible stuff for Matt Olson. Both of his home runs, 111 mile per hour exit velocity, is just absolutely crushing the baseball. I'm so excited for this season for Matt Olson to see him have a big year, more settled into that role in Atlanta as the everyday first baseman. So I think it's going to be a big year for him. He's off to a great start. Certainly is good to see.
Yeah, slight swing adjustment as well that he did late last season and then worked on some more over the course of the winter. If you look at those spring numbers, which again, I understand what they are and maybe what they aren't is a better point about spring training stats, but you just give it the eye test. Matt Olson looks like he's completely locked in and he's carried it over into the first couple of games. Let's see what he's able to do this year, because we know what kind of a hitter he could be based on the things that he showed the Braves last year. And more importantly, I think his body of work in Oakland, particularly that 2021 season, the best of his career. Could he challenge and have an even better season this year? We're all going to find out together. Also going on for the Braves offensively speaking, Marcell Ozuna got to start at DH. That had a few people scratching their heads wondering why is Sean Murphy not DHing and if Travis d'Arnaud is catching. That's going to be a thing we are going to see a lot this year. Let me say that. I don't expect both catchers to be in the lineup every single day, though. Marcell's going to catch some at-bats, and he caught himself a pretty good pitch that he deposited over the bullpen in left field. Ozuna hit the ball hard in spring. He did close the season last year hitting the ball pretty well. If the Braves do feel like he's found something and he is able to, and let me point this out, in the 8th spot of the order, be a threat to hit home runs and drive in runs and be a part of the Braves' offensive exploits, Atlanta's lineup is going to look pretty ridiculous, as if it didn't already on paper. We're just seeing some early returns here that it could be even better if Marcell gets going.
Look, one thing Marcell's never really struggled with is hitting the ball hard and hitting home runs. You give him 400 to 500 at-bats, he's going to give you 20 to 30 home runs, and he's going to give you big exit velocity numbers. The issue with him is, what does he give you in between that? And there's just been the hot and cold streaks. That's really been the biggest issue with him. But look, he's had no problem launching the baseball, and he hit an absolute tank on Saturday. So look, he's going to give you that. And if that's what you get, as you said, out of your 8-hole hitter, you get somebody who's going to give you 25 to 30 home runs. You know, that's fantastic. It's, you know, if you're counting on him to be in your fifth hitter in the lineup and be that run producer, can he do that over an entire year with those hot and cold streaks? That's something we don't know right now, and something he's got to prove. But I mean, you're right. It lengthens that lineup. You put him in the 7-8 spot in the order, and you know he can go deep at any point. So a good, good game for him. Obviously, get that home run and just a no doubt shot.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Orlando Arcia, 3 hits today, a couple of runs scored out of the 9th spot. So talk about turning the lineup over and really having some production down at the bottom when you've got somebody with the firepower that Ozuna has, and then the ability to put the bat on the ball is what Orlando Arcia has been showing us dating back to the spring the last couple of weeks. The Braves are feeling pretty good about that. And again, these first couple of games, things have gone pretty well. Braves with 2 runs in the first on those back-to-back homers, 2 more runs on the third, 1 on a wild pitch, 1 on an RBI single by Michael Harris. Then the Ozuna homer in the 4th, and Matt Olson's 2nd home run came in the 7th inning, a 2-run shot to give the Braves a 7-0 lead at that point. The only run of the day came on a solo homer against Kirby Yates with 1 out in the 9th inning. He just left a pitch up and in, and it got deposited into the upper deck. But other than that, it was hard to find too many things that went wrong for the Braves bullpen, because you look at Nick Anderson coming on with a scoreless inning and a strikeout. Joe Jimenez had a scoreless inning with a strikeout. And at Kirby Yates, he did allow that home run, but he was able to close things out. The Braves bullpen allowing just 1 run in the 3 innings after Spencer Strider was done in a nice 7-1 win. Good to see a couple of Braves debuts, in particular with Anderson and with Jimenez. We know we saw Kirby Yates a little bit last year, but I also think that he could play a pivotal role as a guy who's pitched in some high-leverage innings in his career as well. This is a pretty good and pretty well-rounded group, and they don't have Raisel Iglesias back yet.
No, they don't. And you're right. I mean, good outings by all three of these guys. You know, Nick Anderson, I thought, was the best of the three. I'm a little worried about Jimenez. It's early on, but the velocity, was pretty significantly down, 2 miles per hour from last year. Again, it's his first outing of the year. But the fact they didn't use him in game one in a tight situation, a guy that was brought over to be your setup man, I think maybe that raises a little bit of questions. But if Jimenez and Yates are your last two guys in the bullpen, you got to feel really great about your bullpen overall. So, again, I think those guys, they pitched in big moments. They've had good success at the major league level. And I'm not saying either of these outings were bad, but I'm just saying that's kind of where the pecking order is. And that's how deep and great this Braves bullpen is. You know, that those are the guys that are coming in for mop-up duty in a blowout type of game. So, yeah, no complaints here about the bullpen overall. But I was glad to see Nick Anderson. I thought it was a good outing from him.
Yeah, some guys able to get some work in at the very least, and you're going to want to see that just to stay fresh, because then you kind of start to backdate it to when did they last throw in the Grapefruit League, and you don't want to let it go too long before you get in there for the first time this season. So nice and comfortable lead is not a bad thing either. But the Braves bullpen did its job. The Braves lineup did its job. Of course, Spencer Strider did the job as well, which means that Atlanta has a chance to go for a sweep in game 3 of the series. So let's take a look at that real quick. Sunday afternoon, Jake, we've got Jared Schuster on the mound, the Braves' first-round pick from back in 2020, making his major league debut. Another one of the major storylines in spring training. Who was going to be the Braves' 5th starter? Well, Jared Schuster was fighting with another gentleman named Dylan Dodd, it seemed like, for that, all the way down to the wire. Then both men are going to get starts here in the first week of the season. And he's not even starting in the 5th spot of the rotation either. He's starting game 3 of the year as the Braves go for a sweep against the Washington Nationals. He's got a very tough left-handed mound opponent as well. So Battle of Southpaws, Mackenzie Gore, who was a big part of the Juan Soto trade, is going to be on the mound for the Washington Nationals. 4-4 last year was Gore, 4.5 ERA in 16 games, 13 of those starts. A lot of strikeouts for him, a lot of walks as well, but a very talented lefty and somebody that the Nationals are looking to build around most certainly.
Yeah, it looked great that we saw on Saturday, and then Mackenzie Gore on Sunday. You know, those are two guys that are hoping to be fixtures of the rotation for a long time, and Jared Schuster is hoping that he's a big part of the Braves rotation for a long time as well. So it'll be an interesting matchup for sure. Great that the Braves got 6 innings and a blowout, somewhat of a blowout win on Saturday. The bullpens, should be fresh to go in case Schuster doesn't go very long. Certainly hope that's not the case, and with the way that he pounded the strike zone in spring training, hopefully he continues to do that. But I think the last big thing for him is going to be that mental hurdle, making your major league debut, going to have a lot of family there, all that comes with that. You never know how that's going to translate. So hoping for the best for him. Want to see him obviously get a good start, and want to see the Braves be patient against Mackenzie Gore, a young guy, as you said, has struggled with command at time, but hopefully they can get to him early and get into that Nationals bullpen. So got a series win already wrapped up, so you feel pretty good about that. And going into the series finale, hopefully Jared Schuster has a great debut, and hopefully the Braves offense continues to go. Going up against a lefty, which they had a lot of success against lefties last year, so hopefully the Braves can finish off the sweep.
And they had some success against a lefty in game 1 of the season, so perhaps they can get to Mackenzie Gore, though there might be a little bit of a differential between somebody who struggled as much as Patrick Corbin has and who the Braves have handled as easily as they have with Corbin and somebody like Mackenzie Gore, who is young. The Braves have not seen him quite as often, and again, he's a very talented lefty. We'll see what he's able to put up there. But if the Braves can, you know, get off the deck, score a bunch of runs, and give Jared Schuster a bit of a cushion, that would probably help him and settle in quite nicely. And hopefully the moment's not too big for him. It didn't seem like he was phased too often in spring training. It seems like he's got a great head on his shoulders just from having the chance to, you know, talk and hear from him in his comments after making the roster. But now it's time to go out there and make that big league debut. An exciting moment, one he won't forget, and one the Braves fans are very much looking forward to. Sunday afternoon, first pitch at Nationals Park, 1:35 p.m. Eastern time, as the Braves go for the sweep. Jared Schuster on the mound for his major league debut, and Mackenzie Gore on the mound for the Nationals. Well, that's going to wrap us up here on this edition of the Braves Postcast, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Sports Atlanta right here on YouTube. Hit the bell so you get notified every time we drop a new episode. And make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Braves all season long, wherever you get your podcast. Jake's going to have all kinds of good stuff. I'll make a couple of cameos. And the audio form of this postcast is also part of Locked On Braves. So make sure you subscribe. Again, wherever you get your podcast all season long, we got you covered right here. That will cover it, though, for this edition of the Braves Postcast. He's Jake Mastroianni. I am Grant McCauley. We look forward to catching you next time as the Braves are going for the sweep of the Washington Nationals. Once again, winners on Saturday by a 7-1 final score. For Jake, I'm Grant. Till next time, so long, everyone.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.